Today's shiur is Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom. Tani Chada, we learned in one braisa, La Yotze Azav Kisay. Azav may not go out on Shabbos with his pouch. It's not considered an article of clothing which somebody is allowed to wear in Rishus Rabbim, because its purpose is not to protect the body, its purpose is to protect his clothing from getting dirty. V'myotza, but if he did go out, pata avalasa. He's over mid rabbanim. V'tanya idach, yet we learned in another braisa, lo yaitse, azov can't go out with his pouch. V'myotza, and if he does go out, chayv chatos. He's chayv chatos for carrying mid raisa. So how do we reconcile these two braises? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Lakasha. Harameya. The first braise which says that it's only Asam Drabonon is following Rem Meir, because as we learned yesterday, there's somebody carrying something not in the normal way. That means he doesn't carry it in his hands. Rem Meir says he's not Oivim Adaraisa. That's why Rem Meir said yesterday that the tailor who walked out with the needle in his suit is not Chayim Deraisa. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Brice that says that the Zav is a Chayiv Chatas, goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, who we learned yesterday said that if somebody carries something, even though it's only usual for him to carry that way, he's over Deraisa. And that's why, here too, the Zav carrying the pouch in this way would be over Deraisa. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked, Eim the Shamla Rameya, when did Rameya say that a person is not Chai Midaraisa? But me did the Lav Haina Urche. By something which that's not the normal way of carrying it even for himself. However, but me did the Haina Urche, something which is normal, this is the only way it's carried. Nobody carries a pouch in his hand. Everybody carries a pouch in the place where the emission comes. Mishamle, would Rameya say that he's not Oiva Midaraisa? Ramey would certainly agree that in such a case Azov is liable for wearing the pouch midaraisa. Dilay temahachi, if you're not going to say this pshat, al miato hedjit shchaka kab bakas shabbos, an amateur, not a professional, who carved out a calf-sized hole in a log. A calf is a measurement. Now any hole carved by an amateur obviously does not have the proper form and finish that a professional carpenter would make. So, normally carving out something wood is certainly a nisa deraisa. So, could you say that Ramey is going to tell us that only when a professional does it, you're over chilul Shabbos, and when a non-professional does it, you're not over chilul Shabbos? Ramey is going to agree. Since that's the way I carve it out, I, the non-professional, I'm over. Here too, he should be over. So Ramey would certainly agree if a Zov carries out the pouch, he's chayif. So we're back to where we started. How do we understand the braises? El Omer Rav Hamnuna Lo Kasha. Kam b'Zov Bal Shtei Reis. The braise which says that a Zov is over the Reise is talking about a Zov who had two Reis, two emissions. So now, the halacha is that a Zov who has two Reis has to, if on the third day, he will have another Riyah, he's a Zav Gadol. The difference between a Zav Gadol and a Zav that only had two Riyahs is that a Zav Gadol has to bring a carbon. So since he has to wear the pouch to determine if he's going to be a Zav Gadol and be Mechuyiv a carbon, it is therefore considered normal for him to wear the pouch, and therefore he's Oiv Midaraisa if he wears it. However, Kam B'Zav Bal Shalosh Riyahs, the Braisa that says and that he's not over Midaraisa, he's only Midrabanan, is talking about a Zav who already had three emissions. So we know he's going to have to bring a carbon. So for him, it's unusual to wear a pouch, and therefore he's not over Midaraisa, only Midrabanan. Ask the Gemara, why are you telling me that a Zav who only had two emissions, he's Chayiv Midaraisa for wearing the pouch? The Boiler Mabdika, he needs to continue wearing the pouch to determine if he's going to have a third discharge and Mechuyiv in a carbon. But Azav Bas Shalosh Nami, even Azav who already had the three Riyas, and we already determined is going to be Mechoyiv in the carbon, still has to bring the carbon, because still has to wear the pouch to determine if he's clean. Because the halach is that Azav, after his Ziva, requires Zayin Nekim, 7 clean days. And if there's an omission any day, that disturbs that day and it disturbs the whole count. So he obviously has to continue wearing the pouch to determine if he's the clean. So why are you telling me it's unusual for him to wear the pouch and he won't be mechuyim midiraisa? Answer the Gemara, like nitzchol ubay b'yoyim. He needs it for that day. True. We're talking, let's say, on the day that he had the third riyah. That day, we already established him as a Zav Gadol, and he'll be mechuyev to bring a korban. Furthermore, that day can't be counted as a clean day. So he has no need to wear a pouch for the remainder of that day. If he wears the pouch for the rest of that day, he's doing something which is unusual even for him, and will only be osmed rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, but he still needs the pouch even on that day where we know it won't be a clean day and he's already established as a Zav Gadol because he wants to avoid getting his clothing dirty. So it becomes a usual way of carrying, and a usual way of carrying is not considered, it should be considered Issa D'Raisa. I'm Rav Zaira. So if then that Rav Zaira answers, Hai Tanhu D'Omer, this price is going to the Tanah that says, Kol Atzuli Tunif Le'Kachashev. Anything that's done to save something from coming dirty is not considered carrying. The Tanah. As we learned in the Mishnah. A Mishnah Masechta Machshirim. This Mishnah refers to a very basic principle in Hilchos Tum and Tahara. The halacha is that a food cannot become susceptible to tumah unless it becomes wet first by one of the 7 mashkim. Water, oil, blood, milk. The basis for this is a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'chiyuta mayim al zera." If water comes on seed, the nafam mulasm olav, and then a nevela touches that tummy lucham its tummy. Without the mayim, without the water, one of the other liquids, it's not susceptible to tumah. Now, as we know, the words in the Torah don't have any nekudas. We don't have direct spelling. So the question is, how do you pronounce the word yutan? Is it pronounced yutan, which means it's placed? It got wet, even if I didn't make it wet. Or is it pronounced yitan? It's put on, and it has to be specifically made wet. So, the way the Mishnah in Masechta Machshirim explains it, it doesn't have to be specifically made wet, with intention to make it wet. But you have to be satisfied with the fact that it got wet. Now, satisfaction does not mean that you wanted it, does not only mean that you wanted it to get wet. Another example of this is if prior to the wetting of the food, one had intended to use the water for some person. Even if he was dissatisfied with the fact that afterwards it moistened the food, still, since he was satisfied with that water, the food upon contact with the liquid becomes receptive to tumah. Let's give an example. If somebody puts a dish in the rain to become clean, to be rinsed, and then rain splashes off that dish onto some fruit, even though your kavana was the dish, not the fruit, still the fruit becomes receptive to tumah. The fact that the person was satisfied with the water in any degree makes the food that will now become touched by that water susceptible to tumah. So now the Mishnah talks about the following case. Hakaifakara ala kaisel. If somebody turned over a plate on top of a wall while it was raining, and the rainwater then dripped from the plate onto some produce, we do the following laws applicable. In bishvil shetu the hakara, if he put the plate on the wall so that the plate should become rinsed by the falling water. Hareza b'chayutan. Then that's the case of chayutan. He wanted the water on the plate, and then the fruit that gets that water is becomes susceptible to tumah. However, in b'shvil, if his kavana was shlayil ka kaisel, he wanted to protect the wall from damage from the rain, and that's why he put the plate there that it shouldn't get, the wall shouldn't get wet. Ein b'chayutan. Then this is not a case of chayutan. Because although the owner is the one that put the plate on the wall, and he therefore caused the rainfall to fall from it onto the produce, the water is not considered to his satisfaction. So what, obviously, the Tana of this Mishnah holds that an act done solely to protect something from damage is not significant. So now we go back to our Braisa. We said before that a Braisa, that a Zav is not chayiv for going out with his pouch, since the Zav uses the pouch only to protect his clothing. Therefore, his wearing of the pouch is not reckoned as a significant act for which he's chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Midami, can you compare the cases? Hasam, regarding Tumah, L'kabal L'hani Mashkin Klal. The owner doesn't want those liquids of rainwater at all. He would prefer it shouldn't rain. That's why that rainwater will not make his produce susceptible to tumah. Hacha, but in our case, kaboyli lehi kiss. He wants to kiss lekabuli of zeziva because he wants to be able to catch the secretions that they shouldn't make his clothing dirty. So that's not similar, and therefore we go back to what he said. So we would go back to say this follow. It could be an act performed to protect something can be considered legally significant. But the case of liquid rendering food susceptible to tumah is not dependent on any act. It's dependent on the liquid. And he doesn't, since he doesn't want the liquid, in the case of the wall that doesn't want you to get wet, then that liquid can make something susceptible to tumah. Here, it could be he will be considered carrying and significant. And therefore the Gemara continues with its argument. Because Holei Damya, our case is not similar El Lasefa to the next case. The case is Arei Vishara Dalfai, a bowl into which a leak drops. So if somebody put the bowl in such a way that the leak drips into it, Mayin Hanitozav and Itzavin, water that splashes or spills out of that bowl, ain't b'chayutan. Won't be machshir food l'kabel tumah. However, b'shibit toicha, the water inside the bowl does meet the requirement of b'chayutan. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a case in which the owner used the bowl to protect the surface beneath it. That's all he's doing it. And even though the act was done just to protect something, it's still considered that it can make, that water can make food susceptible to tumah. So back to our case, when the Zav wore the pouch to protect his clothing, his act should be effective, that it should be mechayiv and mechatus on Shabbos. Ella, so back to where we started the shiur with. We have two braises. One braise says that the Zav is chayiv and mechatus for carrying a pouch, and one braise says that it's midrabbonim. Lekash Harav Yehuda, the braise that says that he's chayiv chatus goes according to Rabbi Yehuda for Rav Shimon, because it's a very fundamental machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon regarding melach on Shabbos called melach shen tzrichel gufa. What melach shen tzrichel gufa means, if a melach is not done for its defined purpose, how do you define a purpose for melach? We go back to what we've been speaking about. We go back to the Mishkan. Melachas in the Mishkan were done for creative purpose. I wanted to build something. I wanted to build a Mishkan. The classical case of a melach shen tzrichel gufa is carrying a mace out of a house on Shabbos. I saw the Gemara we've been learning. I want the mace out of the house, but I would have much preferred not to have the mace at all. Rav Shimon says a melach shen tzrichel gufa is only awesome at the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda says, a malach shein tzrich l'guf is asa m'deraisa. Here too, the Zav would have much preferred not to be a Zav. He doesn't want to be a Zav. That's why it's malach shein tzrich l'gufa. Rabbi Yehuda says still, he is a Zav, and that's why, even though he would prefer not to have it, he's still wearing a pouch. And that's why he's chayiv. Rav Shimon holds it's malach shein tzrich l'gufa, and a malach shein tzrich l'gufa, yipata. The very significant shaila that comes up as we finish this piece of Gemara is regarding wearing various coverings over hats when somebody and wear them in a Rishus HaRabim. Is that considered that you're doing it to protect your clothing, which we just learned that you're doing to protect your clothing, you're not allowed to wear it, certainly with the Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Yehuda Midaraisa, or is it considered that it's that you're doing it to protect yourself and you would be may wear it like you're allowed to wear any article of clothing? Reb Moshe Feinstein and the Satmar Rabbah both were machmer and did not let people wear rain coverings, rain hats on Shabbos. The Klozmer Rebbe was Mekel. Another shaila that comes up in the same vein is a person Nebuch has to wear a catheter on Shabbos. Is he allowed to wear that on Shabbos? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that a person who wears a catheter should may go out wearing it on Shabbos. He's wearing it to protect himself. The only thing he says is if at all possible before he leaves his house and if he's walking to shul, he should be careful to drain it of any urine on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Tana de Be'er Vishmal. Yoytze Adam B'Tefillin Be'er Shabbos M'Cheshecha. A person could go out wearing his tefillin right before Shabbos, even though on Shabbos you're not allowed to wear tefillin. My Tama. What's the reason? Why should we consider it like the tailor that we should be worried that he's going to wear him on Shabbos? Kimadam Rav Huna. Since Rav Huna said, Chayiv Adam L'Mashmish B'Tefillin Kol Shav Shah. Since a person is obligated to wear his tefillin, to touch his tefillin at all times, so he constantly remains aware of their presence. And how do we know that? Kavachayim mitzitz. Because the Torah said, one of the begodim that the Kohen Gadol wore was a tzitz, a plate under his, between his forehead and his hat. And it said on it, Kodesh Lashem. Mat tzitz, she'en bo'el eskara achas. The tzitz only said the name of Hashem once. The Torah says, it has to be constantly on his forehead. And like Rashi points out, the Torah already said that the Kohen Gadol has to wear a tzitz. Why does the Torah repeat, to teach us that he should not divert his attention from it? Tefillin, sheyesh be'ezkaras habis, the tefillin that mentions Hashem's name many times, alachos v'kam v'kam, a person constantly thinks about his tefillin, and therefore, he remembers the tefillin, and we don't have to worry that he'll wear him out on Shabbos. The Rishonim ask obvious question. Even if somebody's wearing tefillin on Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, it's only Asa Midrabbanan. So why should we say it's Asa before Shabbos? It would be Gzeir Rabbanan. So some Rishonim answer that we might have thought that it's necessary to prohibit wearing tefillin before Shabbos, since when a person is wearing tefillin, he's reluctant to remove them. It's a bother to do it. You have to have where to put it. You don't have where to put it, and it's tefillin, and you're just not going to leave it in the street. So that's why there's a strong concern that he's going to continue wearing them on Shabbos. There's a vart from the Pnei Menachem, from the Ger Rebbe. So we learned that it means when a person is wearing tefillin, he has to constantly remember the tefillin. He says just the opposite. When a person is wearing tefillin, he's certainly remembering he's wearing tefillin. The problem is when a person is not wearing tefillin, as we don't wear tefillin most of the time. Even though you don't wear tefillin, we have an obligation to remember what it says in the tefillin. Tanya. Hananya Omer. Hanani says, Chayiv Adam L'Mashmish B'Godav Erev Shabbos M'Cheshecha. A person has the obligation to inspect his garments before Shabbos, just before Shabbos, to make sure that there's nothing left in it. Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Hilch Sarapsi L'Shabbos. This is an important ruling regarding avoiding Chil Shabbos. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch Rav paskins, based on this Gemara, that a person should be careful that in Shabbos he should not put anything into his pockets. Because since he could accidentally walk out carrying something, he should be careful to take out anything from his begodim. And certainly that's how the Pesach can say, on Erev Pesach, is the same reason a person should be careful to take out, to check his clothing. The Sfas Emes makes an interesting contrast between the halacha we just learned and the Mishnah that we learned that said, Samach l'chashecha, before nightfall, a tailor is not allowed to go out carrying anything that he shouldn't come to carry on Shabbos. Here it seems to say that you only have to check it at the beginning of Shabbos. And there it says Samach l'Shabbos, which we said yesterday means half an hour. So the Sfas Emes explains that Hananya is referring to somebody who's sitting in his house. He's not on his way out at all. Such a person is not required to check his pockets until Shabbos begins. The Mishnah is talking about somebody who's carrying something out of his house and requires him to do so a half an hour before Shabbos. Again, we have to know, the Mishnah Berurah says, if we live in an area where the streets are a Rishus Rabim, a person has to be careful to check his begodim. However, if you live in a place where the streets are only a Karmelis, the Mishnah Berurah says from the Magen Avraham, you would not necessarily have to do it. But what the Mishnah Berurah does say, that person doesn't only have to check his pockets right before Shabbos, but he should check his pockets on Shabbos too. Every time a person walks out, if he's not doing like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and he puts things into his pocket on Shabbos, he is obligated to check his pockets every time he leaves the house. However, the Lamush Mordechai says that the issur of carrying before Shabbos is only if a person is not carrying with a specific intent or destination. But let's say somebody has something in his hand that he's bringing to a neighbor, or he's carrying a talis to shul before Shabbos, he's certainly allowed to walk out carrying that thing. And this is one of the reasons why people have, the Mefarshim explained, people have special clothing for Shabbos, that they don't put anything into those clothing, into the pockets, to avoid avoid carrying. But even if a person has special clothing just for Shabbos, he still should be careful to check those clothing. Sometimes you wear those clothing during the week. The Klaus Magareba, there's a story with the Klaus Magareba where there was a Talmud who in the yeshiva who accidentally found a pen in one of his begodim on Shabbos, and he went over to Rebbe and he asked him, what should I do with it? So Rebbe told him, quickly take it to your room. When the Talmud came back, the Rebbe asked him, didn't you learn this Gemara? That the Gemara says here that a person should check his begotten before Shabbos, and you would have not come to it. And he was upset that he was Mechal Shabbos. He says, that's pshat, what the Gemara says, Hilchus Raps of Shabbos. This is an important halacha of Shabbos. And the question is, why dafka by this halacha do we find the Gemara use this language, which we don't find anywhere else? So the Rebbe said, truly, a person to be careful not to be Mechal Shabbos, we're starting to learn the Gemara about Shabbos, we see it's very difficult to be sure that a person is not Mechal Shabbos. But, if a person, said the Rebbe, is careful before Shabbos to make sure that he does all the preparations to avoid Chil Shabbos, then he has a Siyat D'Shmai that he won't be Mechal Shabbos. You! And that's what the Gemara says. Hilch Sarabs L'Shabbos. This is an important halacha for all of Hilch Shabbos to avoid making a mistake and be Mechal Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Layaflis Caleb. We learned in the Mishnah somebody can't take lice out of his Caleb. Out of his begodim. What is Pshat in the Mishnah? Asked the Gemara. Is Pshat Layafla Caleb Yom? A person should not take out lice from his clothing during the day, Shem Yaharig, because he may come to kill a lice, which is Osir and Shabbos, Rebbe Lezer he, and it goes according to Rebbe Lezer, the Tanya Amr Rebbe Lezer, Hahari Kinu B'Shabbos, if somebody kills a lice on Shabbos, it's Kahirig Hagomel, it's no different than killing a camel, which is a huge animal, v'layikrul araner, and he shouldn't read by the light of a lamp shemayata because he may tilt the lamp. Adilma tavai shemayata. The halacha of both of these things is he shouldn't do it by the lamp because he may tilt the lamp. Therefore, you would be allowed to check for lice not by daytime. Tashma. So Gemara attempts to bring a proof from a brisa. It says in the brisa, ain't poilin. Somebody can't take out lice. Then karen leraner. This brisa seems to prohibit only by the light of a lamp. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, just like in the Mishnah, we don't know how to teich ein poilin. Here too, maybe the teich of ein poilin has nothing to do with the light. And Tosfos explains, so what was the Gemara's kasha? So Tosfos says, the Gemara and the Havamina thought the brises are more explicit than Mishnahs. And the Gemara says, maybe not. Toshma, so we have another brise which is explicit, ein poilin leilanar, somebody shouldn't take out lice by the light of a lamp, ein karen leilanar. Elam and Alokas, these are from the Alokas Shomer Ba'aliyas, Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garen, that was said in the upper chamber of Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garen, Shemamino, so we see explicitly Tavav Shem Shemayata, the reason Shemayata Shemamino. Omer Yudam Shmuel, and the Gemara takes the ruling of our Mishnah a step further. Afil Ahavchim be Bigdei le Bigdei Ishtoi, you're not allowed to use a lamp to distinguish between a husband's garment and the wife's garments. But like Tosfos explains, this is talking where the garment of men and women are similar. And it's certainly forbidden to distinguish between two men's garments by lamp light, which are certainly similar. Amar Rava, so Rava said, Loya Amoron El Dibnei Mechuzah. This is only said regarding the people in Mechuzah, who where the women's clothing and the men's clothing are similar. Ava Dibnei Chakasa, the rural, people who live in rural places, Medi Yadiyah, they know, and therefore there's difference, and therefore you don't have to worry. But Mnei Chuzi, even Mechuzi Namayar, there's a Kainis. Only regarding the older women. Aval, the oldest, the younger women, Medi Yadiyah, it's very easy to tell the difference. Younger women had very white clothing, which men did not wear, and therefore you're allowed to check even by candlelight. Tan Rabbanan, the Rabbi says, "Ain Pailam B'Shutz Rabbim. Shun Shun check for lice in Rishus Rabbim. Nay covered out of respect for passerbys, because it's disgusting. Ki Yotzba Amar Rabbi Yehuda V'Amalei Rabbi Nechemya. Ain Oysen Abik Tozen B'Rishus Rabbim. Somebody should not induce vomiting in public. Again, Nay covered for covered. Tan Rabbanan. Hamaflas Kelos. Somebody takes out lice from his clothing on Shabbos. Moil V'Zarik. He should roll the lice between his fingers and toss it away. That's how he disables it, that it shouldn't come back to his clothing. Or vachla yaharig, but you're not allowed to kill it. Because this Tana, Rashi explains, holds, it's only osmed rabbonon, and therefore you can roll it, and we're not going to make a gzera that it may die. Abishalayim, noit of azarik, you have to take it and throw it away. Or vachla yimla, you can't put it between his fingers, because Rav Shaul agrees with Rabbi Lezer that killing a louse is osam deraisa. Am Rav Huna, halacha, what is the halacha? Moil v'zayrik. Somebody should roll the louse between his fingers and throw it away. V'zek v'oidai, and this is the right way to do it. I feel b'chol even during the week. Rava makdalhu, Rava would kill them. Rasheshis makdalhu, Rasheshis would kill him. Rava shadal lelakana demaya, Rava would throw them into a bucket of water. Omle Rav Nachman lebansei, Rav Nachman said to his daughters, "Ketolin, I would like you to kill the lice. The Eshmelon Kolin Dismas, and I want to hear the sound of my enemies dying." So Rav Moshe Feinstein speaks about the issue of killing of Balchai, of killing any living thing, and he says that it's inappropriate to kill anything unless it's bothering you, it could do damage like a bee or a lance. And he says all the cases that we just learned where he asked whether the Meroim said they should kill the lance was talking where they could have actually done damage. But in the absence of doing damage, we should not kill any of God's living things. Tanya, Rav Shimon Lozo Aymer, Ein Karin Egan's Mechoz Shabbos. You're not allowed to kill a lance on Shabbos, Dibre Beshamay. Beshil Matirim, Beshil Amekel. Why? Because as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, the prohibition against killing some alive thing on Shabbos is because they killed rams for the hides in the Mishkan. So, it only applies to something that could reproduce. And they held the lice can't reproduce, they held the lice grew from the people's body. And the Mepharshim explained, even though we know that every human being, every living thing reproduces, so how could they say it doesn't reproduce? Since it's so small that it's not discernible, that's why they considered it, since the nits, the eggs of the lice are so small they're not discernible, that's why it's not considered a reproductive situation. You can't arrange for girls to get engaged. You're not allowed to arrange for somebody to teach your son a sefer, lam the indus, to teach him a craft. You're not allowed to console mourners. You're not allowed to visit a sick person in Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Shammai say. But some Matirim, they still say it's mutter. Tan Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan says about visiting a sick person in Shabbos. If somebody goes to visit a sick person in Shabbos, I'm a Shabbos, he's a Melizite. Shabbos, we're not supposed to cry. Refu cry v'lovai, but you should know that the refu is coming. The Shabbos itself can make you better. That means if a person davens, a person is shayim Shabbos, that is a way he'll have a refuah. Rehu daima hamakim yirachim alecha. We should say to the person, Hashem should have rechmanus on you, v'achol Yisrael, and all sick people in Klal Yisrael. Rav Yosi says hamakim yirachim alecha b'tay chol Yisrael. Somebody should have rechmanus in you between all other sick people in Klal Yisrael. Shivna ish Yerushalayim b'chnisasa Omer. Shivna Yerushalayim, when he came in, used to say Shalom. U'b'yitzayasai. And when he let Omer, he said Shabbos Yimelozayk, Refu Akroi V'lovay, V'rachma B'rubim, V'shafsa B'shalom. Rest in Shabbos and peace. The point is that he used the word peace, because as we learned earlier, the Mashal explains Shalom L'Shem Hashem. Kaman Ozloy. Hadam Rav Chanina. Ask the Gemara. Had according to whom does the memory that Rav Chanina said go? That he said, if somebody has a sick person in his house, he should include him with all the other sick people of Klal Yisrael. Command Rabbi Yosi. It goes like Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi said, and the schus of the Klal Yisrael will work for this Klal also. It was with difficulty that Chazal allowed somebody to be Menachem Avel to visit sick people b'Shabbos, because Shabbos is not a time for that. So the Mefarsh Tosis right away asks, what's the point of davening for a Chayla? A Chayla should, whatever was decreed on a person was already decreed at the beginning of the year. So what's the point of davening? So Taisa says, either we're talking about Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the ruling hasn't been set, or Taisa says that we're talking about that even after Gzar Din, with the proper tshuva, tefillah could work. The Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein asked the Shaila, what about a Yiladim Mivaka Chayla twice on Shabbos? And he says that you're allowed to. And he also says a very interesting thing. Even people, he says, who are careful not to use Shabbos elevators or not to use elevators operated by non-Jews, if the only way that they could visit a sick person in a hospital, maybe on a high floor, is by using a Shabbos elevator or a guy, it's the right thing to do, because he says being mevakeh chayla on Shabbos is very important. Amar Rabbi Bechana, when we would go to the Rebbe Elazar to visit a sick person, sometimes he said, Hashem should remember you for peace. Sometimes he said it in Hebrew, sometimes he said it in Arabic. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Rabbi Hachi, how do you do this? A person should never speak to Hashem in Aramic. If anybody asks his needs in Aramic, the Malach HaSharis don't listen to him. So why? How is he speaking in Aramish? Shem Malach HaSharis, because the Malach HaSharis only understand Lashon Arami. And says the Gemara, Shani Chayla, a Chayla is different, the Shechina Imai, because the Shechina is with the Chayla. Domrav Anan Amarav, Menayin Shechina Soid is a Chayla, from where do we know that the Shechina, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kilu, supports a sick person. Shnemet says in Pasuk, Hashem Yisavadana, Hashem supports him al-Eres Tavoy when he's in a sick bed. Tanya Nami Hochi, Hanichnas Levakas Achayla, somebody who goes to visit a sick person, Vayeshev Lo Yagabimita, shouldn't sit on the bed, Lo Yagabakisa, not on a chair. This, the Rashi and the Mepharshim explain, is when the sick person is laying on the floor. So if you'll be laying, sitting on a chair, you'll be above the Shechina, because the Shechina is right next to the Chayla, and it's not coveted that you should be higher than the Shechina. El Misatif, he should wrap himself, the Yajl Fanim sit before him, because he's sitting in front of the Shechina. The Shechina, Mamalim, Rashayisu Shechayla, the Shechina is by the head of a sick person, Shechina, Misem, then I'll Rosh Tavoy. Barav, Avim, Omer, Ravim, and Nayan, Shechayla, 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 how do we know that Kresh Baruch Hu is the one that sustains the sick person? Shechina, Hashem, Yisudana, Alaris Tavoy. And that's why the halacha is that when somebody goes to Mavaka Chayla, he should be careful not to sit by the head of the bed. Even if the chair is lower than the bed, it's still, that since that's the exact place where the Shechina is, it's inappropriate that a person should sit there. The interesting shaila is that the Gemara says here, "Ba'olam al yishal adam tzrach b'lashon arami." A person shouldn't daven in arami. And all the poskim, the Har Tzvi, and others ask, we know that a lot of tefillas that we say are in aramish. The best example is Kaddish is an arami. Brich Shemei is an arami. So he says there's a difference between a tefillah that said b'rabim and a tefillah that said b'yochid. A tefillah that said b'rabim, you are allowed to say even arami. A tefillah that said b'yochid, that you can't say in aramish. But then he asks, but we have other tefillahs that can be said b'yichidus and are still said in arami. Yukim Perkin, the first Yukim Perkin, which is even said by Yechidus, or the Zmiris or Shabbos of Kari Boim, which are all in Aramish, how could that be? So he says that any tefillah that speaks L'tzorech Hashem, like in Yukim Perkin, we say Zar Chai V'Kayoma, we should have living children, Zar the Layifsaik, the Layiftim and Piskam, the right children that will learn. Or in the Snigin of Yari Boim, we speak about the glory of Hashem. Even if in that tefillah afterwards there are elements of private needs, since the main point of the tefillah is the Tzairich Hashem, you are allowed to say that tefillah in Arami. Continue the Gemara of Layikra Lener. Some should not read by lamplight on Shabbos. Amar Rava, Afila Gvoi Shtei Koimus. Even if it's twice the height of a man, and it's hard to reach, you shouldn't touch it. You shouldn't read by it. Even if it's the height of two axe saddles. Even if it's very tall. However, Mishnah said, the Gemara refers to the Mishnah, one person should not read by lamplight on Shabbos. Hatrei, two people shapadami. Ask the Gemara, Batanya Layachav Lashnayim, we learned that not one nor two should read by lamp. And says the Gemara, Loikasha. If the two people are reading one thing, then it's permitted. If they're in two inyanim, so each is involved in his own thing, and therefore you can't read two people. Mefarshim say there's a machlokes harishonim, how far we go with this leniency. Some say it's only when they're reading the same subject, when they're reading out of one book, so it's one book and one subject. And others say that if it's one inyan, even out of two books, it's permitted. Other Rishonim, the Magen Avraham, quotes them, say that this hetter is only l'davar mitzvah, if you're learning a sefer or a siddur, not farchol. Amar Rav Huna, of a medura, in a case of a bonfire, afil asar b'nei adam asar. Even 10 people are usher because you're not allowed to read by the light on Shabbos. Because since it's a big fire, people are next to each other and they won't remind each other. Amar Rav, Madam Chashavu, if he's a distinguished person that never touches the fire, never adjusts it, Mutter, he's permitted to read by lamplight on Shabbos. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Layikra Larner, it said in our Mishnah, some should read by lamplight, Shemayata. Amr Shmuel ben Elisha, Ani Ekrav Layat. I'll read and I have nothing to worry about. Pam Achas Kara, one time he was reading, Ubikish Latos. And he almost tilted the lamp. How great is what Chazal said? Shein Omer Moyikra Lo Aroner. They're not allowed to read by lamplight. He actually tilted it. The Kosovo Kosovo, he wrote in his notebook, Ani Yishma ben Elisha Kresi, I read V'tisin there v'Shabbos, and I tilted the lamp in Shabbos, V'kishibona Beis Migdash, when Beis Migdash gets rebuilt, Avi Chatishmen, I'm going to have to bring a fat carbon Mechatis for being Mechal Shabbos. So, you see that Adam Choshev, Rabbi Shmuel was Adam Choshev, and still he did it. And so the Gemara, Rabbi Shana, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, he can't bring a proof from Shmuel ben Elisha. When it came to learning Torah, he treated himself like a common person and would do anything to help himself learn Torah. A few points. Tosfos asks that we know there's a famous story that the behemoth of Pinchas ben Yair, the animal of Pinchas ben Yair, was prevented from doing an aveira, from eating something that was prohibited. So we see that even a behemoth didn't eat something wrong. So how could it come, as Tosfos, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha ate something, did something wrong? So Tosfos says that this concept that the Gemara says that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Talkolo LaTzadikim, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring anything bad to tzadikim, was only said regarding mitzvah d'achila, was said regarding food, regarding macholos asuras. Since eating macholos asuras is particularly problematic because it affects the person's neshama in such a serious way, that's why we're more strict. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is careful that macholos asuras shouldn't. A tzaddik will never come to eat macholos asuras, but it doesn't apply to other issues. Another shaila I'm just going to quote, the Masham and other people quote a shaila that some women ask. The halach is that if somebody is careful not to eat chametz on Pesach, he won't do aveira all year. Certainly Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was such a person. So the question is, how did he come to do an aveira? From this Gemara it seems that if a person does an aveira b'shagig, he's going to have to bring a carbon for all the aveiras he did in his whole life. And the Poskim, the Mefarshim talk about this. So what's going to be if a person did a lot of Averis in his life? He's going to have to bring a lot of Chatos after Tchias HaMeisim. So Mefarshim explain, the Sefer Megadim Chadashim explains it in length, that he would only have to bring Karbonos for if Mashiach comes before he dies. So then he will have to bring carbon for all the Averis that he did b'shagig. But for what he will have, what if a person will die and then Mashiach comes, he won't have to bring carbonos for all of that because his death will be his biggest kapara. Tani Chada, Shamish by the Kaisus v'Karas Laraner. A servant can inspect cups and plates by lamplight and Shabbos to see if they're clean. Tani Yidach, another Brisa says Lo Yivdach, he's not allowed to. And it's the Gemara Lo Kasha. Kam b'Shamish Kavua. The Brisa that says it's also is talking about a permanent servant who's in fear of his master. He's afraid that if his master discovers that some of the dishes are dirty, he'll be in trouble. Kam shamish en kavua, it's a temporary guy, so he's not that worried. Bibo say mahava hab shamish kavua. Both are talking with a permanent guy, like Asha. Hab the mishvah. The one that prohibits is talking with an oil lamp, which doesn't give off a foul odor, and we're concerned he'll tilt it. Habanafta, the one that says it, is doing with a nafta lamp, which has a foul odor, and since he has a foul odor, the person will anyway not get close to that lamp. It'll keep him away from the lamp. Ibailu. Shamish and kavua. You have, what is the law? You have a temporary servant, but this temporary servant, is dealing with mashk, with oil. Amrav halacha. The halacha is that he can use the oil lamp. But we don't say this rule publicly. Rav Yirmiyahu ben Amma, mahalocha markein, we can even say it publicly. Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba ikla bei Rav Asi. Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba came to Rav Asi's house. Kav shamai, kav kabadik lunhar de shaga. The servant went and inspected the tableware by oil lamp. Amalei, omala avad hachi. Amalei Ravisa, so his wife, the wife of Rav Asi said to Rav Asi, you don't allow temporary servants to do this. Amalei shafkei. Leave him alone. Rabbi Svarlei, he, Rabbi Yirmiyah, holds like his Rebbe. He follows his master, Rabbi Yirmiyah, who holds that a temporary servant can check. And since they were in Rabbi Asi's house, Rabbi Yirmiyah's servant had the status of a temporary servant.